Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
How many people would like to have more peace of mind? More peace in the mind. Well, the good news is that when God designed your mind, the atmosphere that He expected to exist up here in the mind is peace. The natural state of the mind of man should be peace. In heaven, there is perfect peace. And when we keep our mind on heaven, we begin to cultivate perfect peace. Here's what Isaiah says. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. In other words, if you want perfect peace, you're going to have to begin thinking more about God, thinking more about His Word, thinking more about heaven, thinking more about eternity, thinking more about His plans. And the reason why you have this peace is because your mind is stayed on Him, because you trust Him for everything. Does everybody believe God is sovereignly in control of the universe? Right? He's in charge of the United States. He's in charge of what happens in the world today. If something tragic was to happen, it would not happen without God giving it His divine permission. Doesn't mean He caused it. It just means as a part of His plan, He is allowing it. So we trust in God, and by trusting in God, we get perfect peace. There are four testimonies that I want to look at in relationship to having perfect peace. Because I wanted to find out if there was a common thread in having peace in our life. And I wanted to look at the testimonies of the Apostle Paul, what he said about peace, what James said about peace, what Peter said about peace, and finally what King David said about peace. And when you put all this together, the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So let's look at these testimonies. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. By the way, I once heard a preacher say this. It's only two types of sermons. The type of sermon in which people go, amen, and the type of sermon where people go, oh me. This is an oh me kind of sermon, right? As a matter of fact, you ever been to those 3D movies where something flies out of the screen, usually like a little bird, and it looks like it's right in front of you? And you go, you know, you're kind of like testing, and then you look around and it's in, everybody's doing the same thing, right? So this is one of those sermons where it's going to seem like I'm just picking on you. Like I just picked you out. Going to get gone from preaching to meddling. Especially my wife, since I live with her. Maybe she's going to think this. But it's not. Because this is not a sermon in which, let's put it this way, we all need to hear what we're going to hear in the four testimonies. Because what we start with is that peace and harmony in our mind starts with having peace and harmony in our environment. Now, you might think it would go the other way around, but in reality, here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. The idea of peace, living in harmony with one another, starts with humility. I can't live in harmony with you if I always think I'm better than you. I can't live in harmony with you if I refuse to associate with you because I think that I'm better than you. Don't be haughty. Don't think you're wise because you'll never really have true peace. By the way, these things were the highlights were on when I did this before, but they're not now. So this is going to be awkward to keep telling you what I'm actually trying to highlight. Hopefully they'll get better as we go. When we get proud and when we start thinking we're better than people, we begin to think that we're right and other people are wrong. And any slight that is done to us, we begin to want to repay whatever was done to us with evil. Like Paul says, listen, if you don't understand this harmony thing, you'll begin to repay evil with evil. You'll begin to think about yourself as superior, and you're going to see the common thread. He says, but I want you to give thought and do what is honorable in the sight of all. As far as it is possible, live at peace or live peaceably with all. Living peaceably with all people is a difficult thing because some people don't want to be at peace with us. But the emphasis that Paul says, as far as it depends upon you, you be the peacemaker. You always bring peace. We are called to be the ones who bring peace to the world. He goes on to say, beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. Again, the emphasis is on sometimes people stir us up, sometimes people make us angry, sometimes people make us feel like we want to retaliate, and we do. And here Paul says, listen, instead of doing that, why don't you let God take vengeance if vengeance needs to be taken? He says, what I want you to do, and this is part of living in peace with everybody, being in harmony with everybody. He says this. He says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, I want you to feed him. If he's thirsty, I want you to give him something to drink. You know how hard this is? Has anybody ever seen two protest groups with signs challenging one another? Do you ever see them like break ranks and go over and just start feeding the other group lunch? Imagine if they did. Imagine if they did. Because it's not about us being louder than them or us protesting more than them or anything we can think about. It's about us learning how to do good to them. Let me go back one here. It's about us learning how to do good to them. Because when we do good to them, the Apostle Paul says, you'll be heaping burning coals upon their head. We never overcome evil with evil. We never fight fire with fire. I see the church, especially because the climate we're living in today, we're getting more like the world. We're beginning to think we got to fight fire with fire. We're beginning to think we have to use the same kind of methodology that they use. That may work in politics, but it doesn't work in the church. We do not retaliate. We do not fight evil with evil. The message of the Apostle Paul. When we get to James, we find a very similar testimony when it comes to peace. Again, having peace in your mind starts with knowing how to control the environment of peace around you. But what James does is instead of talking about what to do, he talks about what causes us to always want to retaliate or always want to respond negatively. He says, what causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? What is that? He says, is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you don't have, so we don't get our way. We don't get what we want. Things aren't going our way. Things are going the wrong way. We're angry. Things are not the way they should be, the way I think that they should be. And so we go to war. You desire and you don't have, so you murder, you covet, so that you might obtain your fight in your core. All quarrels, all fights are a result of us feeling like we're not getting what we wanted. Life isn't going our way. So what is the answer to this? Well, I believe James is talking to a lot of Christians here. So if you're talking to a lot of Christians who are fighting and quarreling, who want stuff that other people have, what James basically says, listen, if these people have stuff that you want, maybe they got it because they asked me. And maybe if you want what they have, maybe you should ask me and maybe I'll give you what they have. You don't have because you don't ask. See, I know a lot of people get really covetous about other people's goods, possessions, things, and they begin to say, why don't I have that? And they begin to figure out ways in which they can manipulate the situation to get that. And God says, listen, if I give this to them, then maybe the only way you can have it is if I give it to you. You understand that principle? But then James goes into greater detail. He says, now listen, I know what you're all thinking. You've prayed for a beach house. You didn't get it. You prayed for a new car. You didn't get it. You prayed for the dream house. You didn't get it. You prayed for this. You prayed for that. You didn't get it. You want all this stuff. You're continually wanting. He says, listen, you ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And then he says, you're adulterous people. He says, don't you know that friendship with the world is to be an enemy with God? What he's saying is you're thinking like the world. The world is constantly seeking things. They want things. They want more things. They're always discontent. He says, don't you understand something? this kind of passion that you have for things, or what you have for even positions or titles or status or whatever it is that you're longing for and having, he says that you're missing the point of why I created you and why I saved you and why I want you. And then he says this, he says, he yearns jealously over the spirit he made to dwell in us. What does that have to do with it? Because as long as you're seeking things, you're not seeking God. And God is saying, the only thing I want you to do is seek me first and my kingdom first. And when you seek me because I'm desiring you, because I want you, because I created you to be with me, then I'll give you all the stuff. But stop with the passion. Stop with the passion. We lose our peace of mind when we begin to say, I don't have this and I want this and I can't have that and that. Wow. Just get with me and I'll give you the desires of your heart. You understand this? James, listen, this attitude that you have about what you want is proud, is pride. He says, because that's why he tags this on, he says, therefore, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Notice there's a connection between peace and humility. We saw it in Paul and now we see it again in James. He says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Be wretched, be mourned. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. But he's saying, stop. Stop. Just draw near. Come near. Be with me. I created you to be with me. Peace comes from the presence of God. It doesn't come from any place outside of that. But then he gets down to, again, it's like Paul and him are on the same page. It shouldn't surprise us. The Holy Spirit is telling us the same thing. He goes back to this. He says, don't speak evil against anyone. And by the way, we get a lot of discomfort and a lot of lack of peace because we get angry with people and then we begin talking negatively about them. Listen. The one who speaks evil against his brother judges his brother, and he speaks evil against the law and he judges the law. If you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but you're a judge. There is one lawgiver and one judge, and he is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Who are you to judge anybody? Who are you to say this one's wrong and this one's right? Who are you to pass judgment? And here's what we say. Well, I'm just blowing off steam. Just blowing off steam. Well, in your blowing off steam, are you speaking evil against somebody? Are you running them down? Are you judging them? Are you saying, I'm right, they're wrong? If you are, you are asking for a lack of peace in your life, and you're also asking for God to judge you. Everybody say, oh me. James puts it this way. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a relentless evil. It's deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we also curse people who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth, we bless God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah, that guy, that guy, that guy. Oh, And James finally says, this ought not to be. You shouldn't be praising God, worshiping God, telling God how great he is, but yet you're running down your neighbors. Why do we do it? Why do we do it? Why do we curse people who have been made in the likeness of God? Why do we do it? And there's only one reason, and believe it or not, it's proud. It's being proud. We think we're right. We think they're wrong. We're not getting what we want. So here's something to think about. God has given you eyes not to judge others, but to look beyond their situation, or at least try to sympathize with how they see life. He's given you a mouth not to criticize, but to speak the truth. He's given you hands not to punish, but to help. He's given you ears not to be insensitive, but to listen and aid those in pain. All of us, without exception, are guilty of this. And if you're not, come forward. We need to really pray for you. Because all of us have done this. So now, with the Apostle Peter, will he say anything different about peace? Will he go in a different direction? Here's what he says. The testimony. Finally, all of you have unity of mind. Have unity. Have sympathy. Have brotherly love. Be tender-hearted. Have a humble mind. And how do we do this? He says, do not repay evil for evil. Do not revile when you're reviled. If somebody yells at you, don't yell back. Somebody says something negative about you, don't say something negative about them. But then Peter, being the ADD, super impulsive guy, being the guy that maybe is a little bit more on the cutting edge of living life to the fullest, he finally says, now listen, let me let you in on a little clue. I'm not just telling you this and saying, just do this because it's the right thing to do. He's going to go on here and say this. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking disease. In other words, what he says, if you want to live a long life, you want to have a good life, stop speaking evil about other people. How many people think that maybe Billy Graham lived as long as he did, because probably that guy never, very rare to hear Billy Graham criticize anybody. Whoever desires a long life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from speaking deceit. Everybody's getting so quiet now, I don't know. I warned you in the beginning, did I not? The Apostle Peter. Here's what he concludes with. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. We're always to say, how can I de-escalate? How can I bring peace? How can I stop all this dysfunction, all this confusion, and bring peace? Then he goes on to say this. For the eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous. In other words, you want God to hear your prayers? Stop. The eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there that harms you if you are zealous for good? In other words, if you're right with people and you're right with God and you've confessed your sins and you're not running down every single person as if you're the superior judge of the world, if you're in that place of humility, God, help me. I am a sinner. Let me just say this. God is for you. And all of life is going to flow in a way in which peace is possible. Seek peace and pursue it. And you will find peace. Final, last testimony, David. Here's what David said. You put more joy in my heart than they have when there abounds grain and or when grain and wine abounds. Who puts joy in our heart? Is joy, do we get it from abundance and wine? No, we get it from God putting joy in our heart. Joy comes from the presence of God. Not an overabundance of wheat, nor an overabundance of wine, but it comes simply from God putting it there. The psalmist says, in peace I both lie down and sleep. The Bible says he gives his beloved sleep. I'm going to pray that God gives you greater sleep and greater peace, because when you know that you're right with God, there is nothing in the world. There is nothing in the world that can harm you. There is nothing in the world that can attack you. He keeps his servants who are looking at him, who are constantly saying, God, am I right? God, am I right with you? God, am I in the right here on this issue? He keeps them in perfect peace because they trust solely and totally in him. Finally, Isaiah says this. Oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments. God is saying that to you right now. Oh, that you who are listening would pay attention to the words of God. Then peace would have been like a river. Wow. Peace like a river. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to pray. Can you imagine peace being like a river? Just keeps flowing. Just keeps flowing. Never stops. Water, 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 just rushing over your body. And God says, that's what the peace would be like. Peace, 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 peace. Never stopping. Peace, 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 like a river. Like a river. Like a river. Remember the great hymn writer? Peace like a river attendeth my soul. Doesn't matter, the billows. Billows can flow here, there, wherever. People's accusations, revilings, attacks coming again. No, no. Peace like a river attendeth my soul. Doesn't matter. Are you at a place where you're at peace? Are you at peace with others? If you're in violation to the Word of God, if you're proud and say, I'm just going to keep on keeping on in this. If I want to talk negatively about people, I will. If I want to say bad things about people, I will. I want to be angry at people, I will. All of us need to reflect. Don't think I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to you and me, and we're all talking, and this isn't for anybody but you. There is no peace when we do wicked. No peace. But if we'll do with what the Word of God says, if we'll be righteous, the only thing we can have is peace.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.